dominion to the clouds and into the cosmos. We are pumping wattage high and low, streaming worldwide on the internet, and keeping you company tonight. Every Saturday, the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub Saturday nights here. And now, he is often called the Nighthawk, a man who smoothly guides you through the dark hours when the moon is high and you're ready to hear the story behind the story. Though they have never met him, millions of people consider George Norrie a friend because he practically dwells in that realm between wake and dreaming when reality becomes a bit flexible. He's at the legendary helm of Coast to Coast AM, the top-rated overnight radio program in the world. That alone is an overwhelming responsibility, and so it's truly remarkable that Norrie is also an author and an Emmy-winning TV journalist. He was the country's youngest news director at the age of 28, and now he's still bringing groundbreaking content to the screen with his new TV pilot on the Sci-Fi channel called Into the Unknown. It airs June 13th, 11 p.m. It's a great honor for me to be a part of that show, and a huge honor to say, George Norrie, welcome to Speaking of Strange.
Joshua, it's my pleasure. You know, it's kind of funny. You said, though, I haven't met the millions of people who listen to Coast to Coast. I have, because we've installed a device in everyone's radio that allows me to see everybody at any given time.
I would not doubt that, actually. It's interesting that you bring that up, because, you know, every time I've been on Coast to Coast, you've always allowed me to say whatever I want to say, and yet I hear it all the time. There are many people who think Coast to Coast AM, because of its very success in a government-restricted market, is somehow controlled or influenced by the Illuminati or some secret society. I mean, how do you respond to that conspiratorial mindset?
Well, it's simple. I look at that conspiratorial mind as something that's open, refreshing, and I welcome all those thoughts, even though some of them may be way off base, Joshua, or I may not agree with specifically what they're saying. I think it's fresh. I really think it's wholesome. So, you know, I take their thoughts, their conspiracies, and then I digest it and I make up my own mind.
Well, you know, you were clearly a prodigy, reaching success in a tough field at such a young age. You won the Emmy. Were you ever afraid to delve into the paranormal, afraid that stigma attached to exploring the unknown might ultimately damage your mainstream career?
No, as a matter of fact, the reason I got into broadcasting at the ripe old age of 19 years old was to unravel these kinds of stories. I mean, I didn't want to just cover mainstream stories. I wanted to cover UFOs and ghosts and is there life out there on other planets. I mean, that's what I was pushed for. That's what I was bred for. You know, my mother, when I was a little boy, brought me home a book by Walter Sullivan, who at the time was the New York Times science writer. It was called We Are Not Alone. Man, I got into that. I tore it apart reading it. I mean, it was just incredible about his thoughts and theories of the possibilities of life out there on other planets. And I grew up saying to myself, God, what field can I go into that would give me the access I needed to try to unravel these stories? And it was broadcasting. It was the way, it was the key to open up the door to try to enlighten me to all these other topics.
Well, what are some outstanding experiences in your personal life that made you feel confident in the worthiness of paranormal investigation?
There have been a number of events, Joshua, in my life that have convinced me that there is more to life than just what we see. It could be spiritual. It could be the belief system that we are not alone in the universe. But things happened to me when I was a little boy. Just events. I was able to be very intuitive about events that were going on, strangely. I mean, it wasn't just a normal little, hey, I know who's calling on the phone. It was, I know when they're calling on the phone, and the phone would ring. And my parents would look at me like, how does he do this? And it just continued, and strange little things too. Like, we used to build model rockets when we were kids, and we'd launch them. Well, my best friend, it was his job after we built the rocket to put the little solid propellant engine inside the rocket, and then you hooked up a little electrodes to a battery, and then you'd launch it. And it was my job to broadcast the launch to the neighborhood. So all these kids are around, about 20 of them, and they'd sit back and they'd watch, and my buddy Gary Frank would put the engines in the rocket. He'd hook it up and he'd start, and I'd do the countdown and I'd broadcast the launch. And when we grew up, George Norrie goes into broadcasting. Gary Frank ended up helping to build the engines of the space shuttle.
Wow.
I mean, it's just neat little things like that have happened in my life all the time.
That synchronicity that is so invaluable.
Yes.
Well, now tell us about your encounter with Jimmy Hoffa.
1975 was I was a executive producer reporter for the CBS television station in Detroit, and I had called up Jimmy to get him on our newscast. And at that time, we were breaking virgin territory. We were bringing guests in the studio, not just going out to film them or videotape them at the time. So I said, we've got a segment here in our newscast, and I would love to talk with you. I know you want to try to come back and regain the Teamster presidency. And, he came in, and, he and I got to know each other. I was one of the few, if not the last reporter to talk with him before he disappeared in July of 1975. And when I had conducted the interview with him that day at our television station, I was walking him to his car. We had a huge parking lot in the back of the TV station. And he was telling me, he says, you know what, I've decided to go back. I want to be the president of the union. I've made my mistakes. And boy, he did, because he was involved with the mob. He said, you know what, I want a second chance. And sure enough, it was that second chance that got him killed.
Mm. Wow. Well, now, who are some of the people you've interviewed who made you feel a sense of great accomplishment afterward?
Probably my mother.
Yeah?
Actually, I have interviewed in my career. Like I said, I started when I was 19 years old. I've interviewed them all. Stanton Friedman, the paranormalist, Uri Geller, the psychic, presidential candidates from Ronald Reagan to George McGovern to Walter Mondale in the past. I mean, I've talked to so many people in my lives. Rosa Parks, she was the one who refused to give up a seat on the bus. In my career, I've seen it all. And, I would cover stories of murders. Seven people got killed in Detroit once, and I was there just after the police got there. And, I witnessed things like that. It's been an incredible career for me. But this one, Joshua, is the one that has really been the pinnacle for me, to be able to do this huge national radio show, which continues to grow in success. And now, as you well know, we're going to at least attempt to do a little bit of that on television with our June 13th program that you have heavily contributed to. That will be on the Sci-Fi Network. And if it's a successful show, I mean, they're going to run it. And if the numbers dictate that people want that, maybe it'll be a regular thing on the network.
It seems like a natural step to move into TV, not only because of your history, but also because the Coast to Coast AM website has so many visuals. I mean, you practically have a TV show there. What do you ultimately hope to achieve with this program?
I would like to bring a broader audience to the radio show. I mean, we have millions of listeners already, but I want to be able to attract more and more people who either, one, might not be aware of Coast to Coast, or two, really don't understand, I think, the significance of what we do. And I'm a very promotion-minded person, and by going on the Sci-Fi Network and creating not only a successful program for them, but also to generate new listeners for the radio show, to me, that would be just an ideal thing.
Well, so many people focus on the paranormal part of Coast to Coast, but it's also a very political show that critiques the government. For example, when I was on recently, earlier in the program, you discussed the executive directive President Bush signed on May 9th, basically giving him the powers of a dictator if he declares an emergency. How do you feel about the future of this country?
Well, I love the future of this country because people like you and people like me are not going to stop and let anybody get in the way of our constitutional rights. And I will broadcast until the day I die, Joshua, telling people that we don't need to be microchipped. We don't need to lose our privacy. And sure enough, I'm starting to see little things happening that are beginning to back us up. And I'm not going to stop. I mean, a lot of people have said, my God, aren't you worried about yourself? And no, I'm not. I'm a voice that's going to be heard, and the program has evolved from the Art Bell days where it was paranormal all the time. We still will do paranormal shows. There's no doubt about that. It's been the staple of the program. But the world has changed since 9/11. The audience has changed. On our last program, we did a complete show on missing POWs in Vietnam. And in the old days, we never would have approached that on Coast to Coast. But it's necessary. It's a human story. And I think if we could categorize Coast to Coast today and tell the world, what is this show? It's a show that affects people, that deals with people, that cares about people. Whether it is looking for Bigfoot or covering vaccines that could kill us all, it's that approach that we're going to continue to take.
Some people get creeped out by listening to Coast AM. Do you ever get creeped out?
I get creeped out when certain people call us. I've got one guy who claims to be the son of Satan. His name's Oscar. And that guy just creeps me out when he's on the phone. I had another guest on who claims to represent a fellow by the name of the Maitreya, who some people believe to be the Antichrist. Now, the individual in question does not. But man, when he's on the air, I feel queasy and nauseous. It's just weird. And I'm not alone. Thousands of people who were listening to him that night felt the same way. But by and large, you know, most of the topics don't scare me, but a couple of these individuals are pretty darn strange.
Well, I can't imagine the amount of knowledge you have about the fringes of human technology and behavior. What experiments would you like to see done that have not been done?
I would like to see more experiments into time travel. I would like to see more experiments into teleportation. Those two areas fascinate me, and I think there could be a real science behind that. I just think that we should also look for alternative fuels. I know we can do it. Why we're not doing it is keenly obvious, but we really need to do things like that, too.
Have you ever experienced any MIBs or similar monitoring, considering that you reach so many people who are conducting this fringe research?
Not that I'm directly aware of. I've had a couple guests on who have had their phones clipped while we've been on the air. I found that to be unusual, but I've never been approached. I've never been asked not to cover a story. I've been lucky. I don't know. I do know we're significant enough where they monitor what we do, they being, you know, top government officials and people like that. They probably assign an intern to listen to the program every night so they can have briefings the next day.
I bet they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you served in the Navy where a lot of research and development takes place. Were you ever involved in secret projects?
No, never involved in secret projects. I was a public information officer. I spent time in Pensacola, the Pentagon, and a defense information school in Indianapolis. Nothing clandestine, nothing secret, just little me being an officer in the Navy, putting back a little bit to this country that I had taken out so much.
Mm-hmm. Why did you call your book Worker in the Light?
Well, my name in Arabic means the light, and the publisher thought it would be a great alliteration to have that on the title of the book. So he said, let's just call it Worker in the Light. And I said, well, all right, that's kind of an interesting name. I would have thought of something else, but that's what he liked. And it's been a pretty successful book.
How did you meet Bill Burns, your co-author, who also co-authored The Day After Roswell?
Bill was an initial guest of mine when I was doing my local show in St. Louis many years ago. 1997, I think, was my first exposure to Bill. And he would come on the program quite regularly talking about the many different things he's done, including The Day After Roswell. And I said to myself one day, you know, I like this guy. If I ever get to a point where I have to partner up with somebody and write a book, because I can't do it by myself, that's the guy I want. And I called him up one day when I came to Los Angeles and said, you know, Bill, I've been approached by a publisher. They want to know if I want to write a book about some of the unusual things I've done in my life. Are you interested in being a partner with me? You know, so many people, Joshua, have ghostwriters where they don't even write the book and somebody else does it for them. I'm not that way. You know, I wrote chapters. Bill wrote chapters. Bill deserves equal credit with me in that book. And so we partnered up on it, and we're writing several others where we have the same kind of arrangement.
I gather that you do believe there is some evil force sort of battling a good force in our world, whether we describe it as God or the devil or whatever. How do you feel about this Ouija board experiment you've been discussing?
Well, as you know, the first chapter of my book, Worker in the Light, talks about a bizarre Ouija board experience I had in St. Louis. And originally, as I unfolded into what I'm doing, the Ouija board scared the heck out of me. It doesn't anymore. I believe, I honestly believe, and I'm going to stick my psychic neck out, that a Ouija board is merely a conduit to the person who wants to summon up evil or bad spirits. And I don't care who you are. If you have a desire to do that, you're going to be able to do it through a telephone, through a shoe. It doesn't matter. A Ouija board just happens to be a game, a toy that has that capability of helping assist you if that's what you want. My experiment, and we will do it, is to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's the individual, not that Ouija board, that can pull in the evil through whatever source or whatever dimension it may be in.
Good point.
I hope I'm right.
Yeah. And, you know, I greatly admire your openness toward on-air experimentation involving the listeners. Do you feel that's been pretty effective?
Yes, it has. It's been not only effective, I think it's been very fascinating to the listeners because we've created now an interactive radio show. It's not just a host talking through the radio waves. It's interactive. It comes back to me. We do that through computer fast blasts, instant messaging, experiments where they become part of it, instant polls where I ask them a question, and they jump on it right away. I mean, it's really become a unique tool to the radio show.
After interviewing so many people who have psychic ability coupled with your own ability, how do you feel about these famous debunkers like the amazing Randy with his $1 million challenge?
Well, I think debunkers are healthy. The skeptics, the people who are out there who want to shoot down things that are unusual or unknown, that's fine. I'm glad they're out there. In Amazing Randy's situation, though he keeps saying he's got $1 million to put up, I want to see it. You know, I want to see it in an escrow. I don't want to see a letter from some institution he knows that says it's available. I want to see it, and then I want to get some bona fide people to go after it without his rules. I want an independent party to be able to do it. But in terms of debunkers and skeptics, necessary and healthy.
And one last question. After having interviewed so many people from so many varied backgrounds, what is the meaning of life?
You know, Joshua, to me, the meaning of life is a very simple statement. It is being able to enjoy this life with the people you care about until you go on to that other life, and it's a whole different ballgame after that.
Well said. And George Norrie, the clock has got us, but again, it's an enormous honor to have you on the program. I feel this TV project on the Sci-Fi Channel will be a great success. And I sincerely thank you for inviting me on your mini shows and taking the time to join me on Speaking of Strange tonight.
There will be many opportunities for you, Joshua, to be on Coast to Coast.
Thank you, George. And also thanks to Tom Danheiser, who has always done a brilliant job of juggling so many complex tasks to ensure quality. Now, keep in mind, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you will also find links to not only Coast to Coast AM's website, but more information about this program on the Sci-Fi Channel that will air this Wednesday night. You are going to love it. And if you go to Speaking of Strange, the chat room is also full there. So if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you can easily sign in and participate in the fun. Well, how about that? George Norrie, the man who is sort of mysterious in his own right, you don't hear him answering questions that often about himself. He sure asks a lot of them to people all over the world. And, you know, Forrest, you've been in broadcasting since you were just a teenager, and it's pretty cool to be able to talk to people who have that kind of experience.
It is.
Success.
If we had more time, I would love to pick his brain just to ask him a million questions.
Yeah, yeah. And
but you got to do it instead. Thanks, Joshua.
Well, I'm glad that we could get any time with Norrie, because for a guy who is on the air for like 4 hours every single weeknight, he probably tries to stay away from the radio when he's not on the air himself. So it was pretty good that we were able to get him here. And of course, if you don't know what George Norrie looks like, well, then you'll get that opportunity to see him on that Sci-Fi Channel program called Into the Unknown with George Norrie. Again, that's 11 p.m. this Wednesday night, June the 13th. And they actually shot two of those pilots. One of them was dealing with extraterrestrials. Whitley Strieber was there. An abductee was there. And they gave him a lie detector test. I don't know that that one is ever going to air. I think that they are only going to air the ghost one they shot with me, Brian Irish, and Gary Busey. What a team that is, huh? And then if it's a success, this show will continue. So whether or not it continues and we are able to use a lot of our resources through the Sci-Fi Network to create experimentation and further our research just depends on whether or not you watch the program. And if you can't be up, you know, set your DVR or your TiVo or your VCR and watch it that way as well, because it is very difficult to get stuff to play on TV these days. You may know that I did a huge pilot with the Discovery Channel for a program called X-Ops. They spent an amazing amount of money. We had incredible resources. They shipped us all over the country to do work, and that thing probably will never air. It's sitting right now in a vault somewhere in Silver Springs, Maryland, in a building that is almost back-to-back with the NSA building. So some have speculated we may have learned a little too much, because some very bizarre stuff did happen. But I will have a chance to share more of the information with you about what we found in Roswell, New Mexico for the Dark 30 tour. That is coming up this September, and that's going to be right here in Asheville. Jim Mars will be in town. Nick Redfern will be here. And, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link there to the Dark 30 experience if you want to be part of that. So do you feel that Norrie's statement about the meaning of life is resonant with your own feelings, Forrest?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. That's about all you can do. Try to enjoy
yourself.
Of course,
everyone has their own interpretation of what the meaning of life is, when everyone knows it's really 42.
And, in the movie The Meaning of Life, they came up with two principles. One, matter equals energy. And two,
hats.
Men should wear more hats. And, of course, there was a silence in the room, and a guy said,
what?
What was that you said about hats again? Huh? So who knows? Maybe there is something deeper to that discussion than we know. A lot of people think that if they just had $1 million that life would be perfect tomorrow. But when we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you a bit of unsettling news about some of these lottery winners and a little experiment we've talked about doing here live on the air with our listeners, similar to what George Norrie has done in the past on his show, something in which you can participate. And by the way, the phone lines are now open. We'll be taking your calls. I understand there is a gentleman who wants to get on the air and tell you about some weird creatures that have been running around his house. This should be intriguing. I am Joshua P. Warren, and you're listening to Speaking of Strange. Speaking of Strange, we'll be right back. There. Are listening to Speaking of Strange. Soon we are coming up on our dark 30 hour when we can tell you some of the stranger, more outrageous news that you probably won't hear any other place. And if you want to participate in those conversations, you can do so. We're also going to give away something free next hour, so stay tuned for that as well. But first, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Joshua. Dan Shepherd here. I'm glad to talk to you again. I told you I'd surprise you from time to time.
Oh, that's great. I always enjoy hearing from you.
Oh, I enjoy hearing from you, too. You're so interested. And George sounds good.
Great.
Yeah, your show is really picking up, and I'm proud of you. First off, I want to start off with a little strange story to pick things up here. The last two or three nights, the first night it scared me to death. I went out on my back porch, right, to get ice, to get ice out of the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's glassed in. I looked out, man, and they were like 3.5 foot tall people. I mean, I'm not going to say people because people don't glow a light green color at nighttime.
Wow. So these were glowing light green, 3.5 feet tall.
Yes, and the thing is, two of them automatically spotted me looking at them.
No.
And I was in the darkness, so I opened the freezer up, but when I seen them, I closed the freezer so nobody could see me, but they seen me. Their eyes was like a yellowish color, and I really couldn't see no pupils at the distance. Okay, I was paralyzed. I just stood there. And, I wanted to go out, but I didn't go out the first night. And, they seemed the third one looked at me, and then they seemed to look at each other, and they started walking out into the woods, and as they walked out, it turned into a lighter green color, and then they were gone.
Now, how many of these people were there?
Three,
okay.
We're both saying people. This is not people.
Right.
Unless it's they're drinking something that, really make them feel good and turn green and blue.
Yeah.
But now anyway, the second night, okay, I remember time to time that I went out there the first night. I went out there the second night. This time around, I went out there all the way outside. I had a little hiding place where I stood out in the patio. Well, it's past the patio. It's into the woody part of my patio. Yeah, that can't happen again. This time, one of them was bending over, and he was, like, digging something. It seemed like he would seem to be digging soil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the same thing. All of a sudden, they all three looked at me again. How they seen me, I have no idea. I was stealth. I had my military outfit on, my blacks,
mm-hmm.
and I was hiding in the shadows like I was taught to do in martial arts. Well, Okay, same thing happened. They moved back into the same direction, and as they moved out, they turned that lighter green color, and then they just disappeared. Third night, they didn't seem to even look at me. They seemed to be looking around at the ground. Now, yes, I did go out there and look around at the ground myself. There is areas out there, and you're welcome to come check it out. You're always welcome.
Well, thank you. Now, did you try to photograph them?
Okay. I have an upstage phone. Yes, I think I'm not big. You're going to have to show me how to pull this up on my video camera off my upstage phone.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I've got them.
So you captured them on video?
On the third time around.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this is ours. It belongs to ours. We put this on the radio. This goes on your website. This has been happening. Now, this has not happened now. And, you know, I'm going to check it out again tonight just to make sure I'm not going crazy. You know, I'm not drinking anything or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
My mind's clear.
Yeah.
I have to keep it clear. Doing what you're doing. I want to make sure you have the authentic stuff.
Well, now, yes. Do you think these are aliens?
Well, that's what I was telling my fiancé. Yes, I have a fiancé now.
Mm-hmm.
But their heads seem to be a little bit bigger than they should have been.
Mm-hmm. So are you afraid of being
like
abducted?
They're backwards to the backside.
Yeah.
Of their heads. I see no hair. The clothing, everything was a solid color. And it was glowing. I don't think we have these type of clothing, right? Do we have these type of clothing in the country right now? And do they make up for 3.5 foot tall people?
When I get this video footage, I'm going
to
analyze it.
Yeah, you're going to have to check it out for me, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to have...
I'm going to go to the station or the pub.
Okay, well, I'll give you my address, my shipping address.
I have that somewhere.
Okay.
Let me get I better get that now because I have a few goodies for you.
Okay.
I leave you without. I told you a while back when we had a discussion. Yeah, sometimes I'm controversial,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes I have some strange things happen, and you agreed with me. Sometimes things like this follows people like me.
Yeah.
Let's get your address.
Okay, and this goes for anybody listening who would like to send me video or pictures.
Please.
It's P.O. Box.
P.O. Box.
16801.
16801.
And that's Asheville, North Carolina. Zip is 28816.
8816. I had it wrong.
Okay, so if you send that to me, we are going to definitely get together and watch this thing and analyze it and see what we think about it. And if it looks something good enough for us to follow up on and investigate.
This is going to be something that's going to stand out.
Okay, I'm excited.
And the thing is, the great thing about this is I've got an envelope and I've got to go through it tonight. I've got your right address, and then I've not had it. My mother has been, when she was alive, had a habit of pointing the camera towards a certain direction. I don't know why the lady did it. She must have been psychic. Obviously, she was quite a bit psychic, actually. We talked about that. But this is not rigged. You can have this checked out. There's a photo. Okay, and it comes from way back.
Mm-hmm.
There is a light. It looks like it actually looks like a shot of either a steady shot of an asteroid coming down, or a steady shot of a light shooting straight up.
Hmm.
I'm not sure which way it's going. But that's one, if you will put that, you might want to put that on the website.
Hey, you got it. And
there's so many good things, Josh, with it. I know you're in a hurry, and I can finish it off in a few seconds.
Yeah, I'm up on a break here, but sure, go ahead.
Okay, when's the break?
It's coming up right now, actually. But go
okay,
ahead and you got
to. Do I need to hold on for a second?
No, just go ahead and go ahead and tell us what you'd like
okay.
to pass along.
Okay. The next thing. Now during Halloween, you have your trip to the Bermuda Triangle.
Yep.
Okay. I'm getting ready to try to make some contacts with my people on Biltmore Estate. I got many passes, and I'm going to try to get us a few more passes for some of your people.
Uh-huh.
So we get to go up there for free.
Well, that sounds like a good deal.
We want. We might have to sneak around a little bit, but once they find out who I am, they're going to let us do what we want to do.
Oh, well, okay, that's a very generous offer, and hey, Dan, we got to go, but thanks for calling in. Good hearing from you, and I look forward to getting that video, and as soon as I get it, my friends, you will be the first ones to hear about what is actually captured there. It's one thing for someone to say, hey, I've seen something weird. It's another thing to say, I got the video camera out, and I'm going to send you the footage. So, I'll let you know, and he said we can even post it online as well. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll continue on Speaking of Strange right after this. Send us the footage.
I want to see this footage.
And I tell you what else. He talked about his military background. Dan, if you're listening, go out there and nab one of these guys. Shoot him. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't tell people on the air to shoot little creatures running around the house. That might be bad form. Or it could be groundbreaking. Can you imagine if Dan shows up at the studio and he's got a little alien in a net? Of course, he might get
in the net. He's not going to bother taking it and put it in a little cage or anything. He's going to just keep it in the net.
Depends on how studly the guy is, I guess. I'd shoot him. I'd shoot one. But you hate to think there are just some kids maybe running around the house. But he said they disappeared. So, that's not ordinary. So, let's see. That's one of the cool things about doing this show.
I don't have a drink also, but right now.
when it comes to this program, we have that kind of access where, if somebody actually does capture a Bigfoot or an alien or a fairy or a little person, just call us up, contact us, and if you've got it, well, we will also make ourselves available and accessible, if it sounds credible, to take a look at this thing and break it right here first on Speaking of Strange. We do break news from time to time. In fact, we had Tom Biscardi on, last year, claiming that he had the remains of what may have been a dead Sasquatch. Turns out it was remains of a giant beaver. And I'm not exactly sure how you confuse Bigfoot with a big beaver, but nonetheless, that's what happened.
That one. It's not 10 o'clock yet.
That's what happened. Oh, man. Yes, we're coming up on our dark 30 hour after 10 p.m. But I am also glad that Dan mentioned this paranormal cruise, because they keep extending the deadline, but my understanding is this month is it, because after that, Carnival is going to take back any unused cabins from our group. But if you want to spend about five nights with us in the Bermuda Triangle, going down to the Bahamas, exploring pirate torture chambers and some really creepy places like that, you got to make your reservation now, and you can begin making payments on this. Just go to paranormalcruise.com and make that reservation. You can contact Helen Preston at Fugazi Travel. You can write down her number also. It's toll-free, 800-221-7181, 800-221-7181, or just call them locally at 274-2555. And you'll get all the details on that, but we're all going to be there, and it's going to be a blast. We did this once before and had such a good time that now we're going back. We're bringing bigger guns, better material here, the most groundbreaking technology like the paranormal PC, and, of course, we will be reporting on this program everything that happens. It's wonderful to be able to go out there and interact with folks, and that's why I was thinking about this online experiment we should try out. If anybody is able to call us from a casino, especially if you're, say, maybe Harrah's Cherokee Casino here in Western North Carolina, and you can get a cell signal, because sometimes it's difficult to get a cell signal in these places, I want you to call the show. And we are going to ask all of our listeners to send out a telekinetic vibe to give you a jackpot. Now, we did an experiment one time here where we tried to move an ink pen on the table by asking everybody listening to the show, all the billions and billions of listeners around the globe, to focus on this ink pen moving, and I kid you not, it moved. It was over a break. It shifted positions. I didn't actually see it move, but I put it in one position. I came back. It was in a slightly different position. So next time, hey, we're probably going to get a webcam in here at some point. That's going to make those kinds of experiments fun. We'll just stick the webcam right there on the object, and everybody can see live for him or herself if this thing actually moves. That's the great thing about having an interactive audience. And when we come back, we're going to finally debut the highly touted Dark 30 Hour. That's when we enter the safe harbor zone. All the kiddies are going to be in bed. We can let down our hair, but I...